In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Think back to December 2020. It was not a particularly good time, as you'll remember. We were still very much in the throes of pandemic and very much reliant on computer screens to maintain a sense of community. December is normally an eventful time for our church, with lots of activities and special worship services. So to capture the Christmas spirit that year, we had to get pretty creative on Zoom. One idea was to sing Christmas carols on Zoom. However, by this time, we were all aware that it is difficult to speak in unison on Zoom, much less sing. The time delay is just very hard to overcome, and with singing, I think it's impossible to overcome. So every time we would sing a carol or a hymn, everyone would go on mute except for our professional musician, who was in her home music studio on her piano and leading us in song. Now, this approach worked out fine. It was fun. What are you going to do? Well, what you're going to do if you're parishioner Janet Loengard is insist that we sing at least one hymn off mute. Now, Janet is a longtime faithful member of our parish. She was one of the wardens when I arrived here, and she's a strong woman, a pillar of this church, and nobody wants to tell her no, especially when she has a good idea, which this actually turned out to be. Janet wanted to sing Silent Night. She wanted to hear everyone else singing Silent Night too. A few of us, myself included, insisted that it would sound awful because there's no way we could possibly be in sync. Janet said, "Well, that's not the point. Sounding good is not the point. The point is that we're doing it together." So that's what we did. As you can imagine, it sounded just as bad as anticipated. But it also sounded really, really wonderful in terms of being in community. We were laughing while we sung, and we were enjoying the purpose behind what we were doing, celebrating Jesus's birth together. Now I want you to think about our passage from Acts, the story of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit essentially blows the disciples out of the house where they are gathered and gives them the ability to speak in a bunch of different languages that were unknown to them. The purpose being to proclaim the gospel to many different Jewish pilgrims who had come to Jerusalem. They were there to celebrate Pentecost, or in Hebrew, Shavuot, which falls 50 days after Passover. So we can imagine all the disciples speaking different languages at once. In some churches, a handful of parishioners who were bilingual or even multilingual will read the account of Pentecost in the book of Acts in different languages all at once to mimic the effect. Maybe we can try that here at Incarnation one year. But I'll warn you, it doesn't sound pleasing to the ear. It's a bit like singing Silent Night on Zoom. It's cacophonous. A cacophony is a discordant mixture of sounds. It can be a little harsh on the ear. But in this case, it's a holy cacophony. It's glorious because of the heart of the speaker, the message spoken, the symbolism of unity and diversity, and just the togetherness of it all. A holy cacophony. Now contrast the very different cacophony that we read about today in the book of Genesis, the story of the Tower of Babel. The Bible tells us that at one time, all the people of the earth were gathered together and spoke the same language. They decide to build a city, and in that city, a tower with its top in the heavens. The impetus for this is that they want to make a name for themselves. And I'd say this is a little reminiscent of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They eat the forbidden fruit because they want to be like God. Here too, the people want to elevate themselves and in some ways play God. Not a good idea. Now, two chapters earlier, God had commanded the people to be fruitful and multiply, abound on the earth and multiply in it. This was humanity's primordial calling. But now humanity wants to stake its camp in one corner of creation and build walls and towers. They also brazenly attempt to stake their claim in heaven. So just like God throws Adam and Eve out of the garden, God frustrates the building of the city and the tower. God makes everyone speak different languages so they can't understand one another and have to abandon their plan. Now, this is an origin story about where languages come from. Like the story of Adam and Eve, I don't think we're meant to take it as historical fact. Nor are we supposed to conceive of diversity of language, culture, religion, etc., as a sort of punishment from God. In fact, I think we can see Babel as God's yearning for diversity in contrast to humanity's desire for uniformity. Notice the repetition of the word one. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And the Lord said, look, they are one people and they have one language. I think God has a fundamental concern here. All this sameness and homogeneity is not God's will. And now the people are also concerned. They're concerned about being dispersed or scattered. They want to remain in the same place together. But God wants them to spread apart, to scatter abroad and fill the earth. God's dream is for multiple languages and cultures. So when we get to the story of Pentecost, it's not an undoing of Babel. It's not fixing a problem. It's furthering a mission. Diversity was a good thing to come out of Babel. But as a consequence, the people became strangers to one another. And now at Pentecost, we have both diversity and understanding. There is coming together around the gospel. And then the gospel can go out even farther into the world, just as God intended and just as Jesus directed before he ascended into heaven. You are to become my witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. At Pentecost, diversity is maintained. The richness and fullness of humanity in all its many expressions is maintained and celebrated. Sameness is not the unifying factor. Jesus is. Now, in principle, this all sounds great, yes? I'm sure we can all get on board with the slogan, celebrate diversity. We live in New York City, after all, where diversity of language and culture, ethnicity and race, sexual orientation and identity is all around us. And for many people, that's part of the reason why we love this place. Plus, as we just established, celebrating diversity is a biblical thing to do. Yet I do believe the temptation is to prefer uniformity. That same temptation that the people faced in Babel. Did you know that the United States doesn't have a national language? How does that strike you? Now I think it's pretty cool, but when I first learned that fact, I thought it was ridiculous. The national language should be English, the language of government documents, court proceedings, and business contracts. We all need to be on the same page. for efficiency's sake and for society to function. Well, the founding fathers didn't think that. And every attempt in Congress to make English the official language, whether through a constitutional amendment or immigration reform, has failed. I've learned that's a very good thing. And to be honest, I find that sometimes I need to check myself in how I think about and perceive people who are different from me. Am I nervous around them? Am I desiring homogeneity because that would make me feel more comfortable and in control? Am I imposing my culture on someone else because I don't understand or don't truly value theirs? Am I insisting that we all be in sync when organized chaos might be better? In fact, organized chaos might be the Holy Spirit's specialty, especially if we think of her hovering over the waters of creation. And if not organized chaos, then definitely organized cacophony. Holy cacophony that somehow becomes beautiful music to enrich our world. And perhaps the best reminder about linguistic diversity and all the forms of difference among us is this. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak one language. The Holy Spirit speaks your language, no matter who you are. Amen.